Tech, but my name is Missy Richardson. We are excited to talk about, what is the name of our topic?
Working Parents and Marriage.
Working Parents and Marriage, guys. Amy is really the one in charge, just want to go ahead and say that.
If you love it, I helped design all of it. If you don't like it,
come to me. That's fine. I'll take it. Go ahead, Amy.
Okay, so I would love to start this session with just immediately off the bat saying I used to be a college basketball coach for 20 years. I worked in athletics. Everything that I did, every public speaking opportunity was all about trophies. And so I just feel really heavy on my heart whenever I talk about marriage, anything related to marriage, that I should just say right off the bat a little bit of my story. And if you want to hear more, feel free to come to Reengage or the website and listen. But Missy and her husband Kyle were a huge part of our story and just staying in the game of marriage for Steve and I. And so as we open, I'm gonna let Missy pray here in a minute, but I'm gonna read just a part of my story so you guys know we're not experts at this. We're learning and we're growing. And so just a little part of my story, okay? So in the past, when given opportunities to share, our lives as athletes and coaches made us terrible at sharing our struggles and comfortable only sharing trophies and accomplishments. We have learned through a long season of hardships and suffering that there's tremendous power in authenticity. So I'm honored to vulnerably share today. Peacemaking marked our first 20 years of marriage, resulting in short-term wins but long-term losses. I can recognize now, though I couldn't see it then, that disrespect, bitterness, and resentment were my responses to unmet expectations, particularly in the area of working parents, in my marriage with Steve. I wanted to have control, and that fueled a self-reliant drive to succeed. As my bitter lens grew, I began to cope by staying busy with our five children, which you'll see a photo here in a second, and seeking every opportunity to become more independent from Steve. I bottled up my emotions and worked diligently on my career to provide for our kids. Many of my habits, which we'll talk about today, looked like accomplishments in the world's eyes. However, the heart behind my habits was bitterness and not love. Ironically, as my career accomplishments grew, so did the division and bitterness in my heart towards Steve. And I'm gonna stop the story there, but I'm just gonna tell you that my first experience at Watermark was coming to a Nest event because it wasn't really church. And I had already walked out of my 20-year marriage. And my friend Jeannie Cox invited me to hear her talk. And I walked into a room like this, and she said, no, you need to be next door at a submission talk. And sent me over to Ann Daly. and somehow we survived. But 2 years later, in 2019, by God's sovereignty, we got back together. And Missy and Kyle aren't engaged. Missy's not going to tell you what an amazing friend she was to me during that time, but that's really where our friendship started, was in the middle of saying, this is really hard, this topic, working parents and marriage. And so, Missy, you want to pray for us?
Father, thanks so much for today, for just the time, the sacrifice these women have made to be here. May we honor you in all that we say. May we grow to be more like your son. May we love our spouses and our children in a way that honors you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So, I have five kids. They're all super tall.
So, you want one of us to play on your team,
yeah.
And one of us you take to karaoke.
Yeah. So,
just choose which one.
So, my kids go 16 to 24, and I do work at Watermark now. I've been here about 2 years, and here's Missy's family.
We're a little shorter.
I'm married to Kyle. If you've been around Watermark a while, you might recognize him. He's seen sometimes. I'm a realtor, so call me if you need to buy a house. And I have a different story. She's worked full-time, I think the whole time you've had kids, right? And I kind of had more of like, when they were younger, I had a bunch of side hustles. I've been an interior designer. I did hair and makeup for years. I still do that some too for fun. And then went full time when my kids got a little older. Is that okay?
Yeah, it's good. Okay, so we decided that one of the things Missy and I learned during our journey, and just so you guys are aware, 80% of women have a stop start to their career. So I know in a room even this size, We have people all over the map. You might be working full time, you might be considering working, or you may just be here to talk about marriage, and we're glad you're here. And this breakout, the way we decided to design it, is with the acronym HELP. And we'll talk a little bit about each one of these areas, but we specifically kind of divided out, and I thought about how Missy has encouraged me in our friendship and our journey, and expectations was a big part of what we talked about a lot, and then she really encouraged me to get around people. So we're gonna start with habits, because this, I'm telling you guys, I am an expert at creating habits. I may not look like it right now, but I'm the mom you hated when I was pregnant, because I was like, I'm gonna train for that marathon until right before, and or I was the mom that people were constantly walking up to and saying, hey, I don't know how you're a Division I coach as a mom of five, because there's only two, three others in the whole country coaching any NCAA sport. So I was constantly getting asked to speak on these panels for routines and best practices and habits. And so as we talk about habits, there's a lot out there that we can, and we'll get into these. You can pull apps, you can have all kinds of discussions going with your friends, but the reality is that step one is, what is the heart behind your habit? And so I thought these scriptures were good. I'll only read one of them because it made a big difference in my life. Matthew 15:8 says, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Teaching us doctrines, the commandments of men. And so what that looked like is, I would often start conversations when people would ask me, how are you doing your career, staying present as a wife, raising five kids? I would often, the first thing I would start with would be, let's pull out your calendar and let's talk about your habits, okay? And what I have learned in the marriage issues that Steve and I have had is that you've got to start with the heart posture. Because if you're determined to create new habits in your life, there are resources out there available to you. But those habits built on sand and not a strong foundation of daily devotion to God's word will fall apart, okay? And so here's just some quick things to think about, is as you start creating habits for your career or habits for motherhood, daily devotion is really the big rock that should go in there. And so I've tried this a variety of ways. You may be better at this. You probably are better at this than I am. But one of the things I have found that works is it has to happen. Like, it just has to happen. And so notice I didn't say, hey, it has to look exactly like this. Because your season of life changes as a basketball coach. Certainly my season of life was all over the, if you met me between November and March, you met a different Amy. If you met me in July, different. And then, you know, raising boys is a little different than raising girls, and et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot of influence into what your daily devotion might look like. But the most important thing to remember in what Missy and I talk a lot about is that has to be a part of your regular cadence of your day, okay? Constant communication. This is something that I find really amazing, and Missy will talk more about this later, okay? How many of you guys communicate more than twice a day to your spouse?
During working hours.
During like the day, okay? How many of you communicate, you couldn't even count times a day with your spouse during 8 to 5? Okay, that's good. So I wouldn't have even raised my hand when I was in basketball season, hard charging. My goal was to leave on a basketball trip and give like the rundown, like an itinerary, like a run of show for him. That's an extreme, okay? So as I changed and shifted that habit, there's lots of things you can utilize your phones for. And one that I thought of that was super helpful to me was to put timers on my phone to make sure I was communicating right. And then syncing your calendars. It sounds like a simple thing, but it's so important. And this was something that I had to work really hard at with five kids as my kids got a little bit older. So everything went into the calendar. Even quiet time, even grocery shopping, all of those things. And I could talk all day about calendars, but that's why I wore my name tag. I work here. If you want to have that conversation, man, it's right up my alley. I love talking about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you don't want to call me on that stuff. Just call in. Okay, Amy's being so sweet. We really, just want to tell you real quick, we met from a mutual friend that she grew up with and was a dear friend of mine because I did her hair and makeup for coaching pictures, and then we just developed a friendship and started being a little more honest with each other. But I just want to say, what year was it that we talked the first time about houses?
16.
She called me and she wanted to go look for a house by herself because they were separated. We didn't do that. I wasn't excited about that. And then a year and a half later, we bought one. Well, I didn't buy it, but you know, they bought it together. So it's pretty great. And we have loved being part of their story. And I did find them a house within walking distance from mine. So, okay, we're going to talk about expectations. It's an interesting, you know, you don't find the word, I don't think expectations is in the Bible. But, so we, this is a verse, that I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So this is, that's the important part that we want to, apart from me, you can do nothing. It ties back into the heart of the eight, heart behind the habits. But before we can do anything that we want to do, be a mom, be a wife, be an employee or a boss, we got to stay connected to the Lord, like Amy said. In this busy time of kids and working and schedules, it's really easy, I don't know how all of y'all are wired, but to kind of want to control. And I kind of picture like holding on to my schedule or life like this. And the difference between clinging tightly to control and then like literally more of a heart posture of this, apart from me, you can do nothing. That's harder to do than, it's easier to say, harder to do. So it's important, expectations are a big part of this. It's important to realize we do have them for ourselves, for our spouse, for our children. I don't know how old all your children are. I assume they're kind of young, except I don't know how old Mandy's are, but they're a little old. Because I think those expectations get bigger the older they get. And for job and for life. I think it's important, as if you can, to identify those expectations because they control a lot of what you do. And I'll say it constantly, hold them loosely. Because unmet expectations do a lot of, did you change it? Unmet expectations do a lot of damage. Kyle and I are helping with Merge. I don't know if any of y'all went through Merge, but we talk a lot about expectations, but it's an interesting thing because they're still in love. They haven't had a lot of unmet expectations, and we try to say, no, this is important, like this is important, but they haven't been there. They haven't experienced unmet expectations. I would assume now some of you might have. And I will say there will be more in your future. So I just feel like they can do a lot of damage in your relationships and in your heart. And I would first warn against comparison. You'll see later I'm going to talk a lot, or later I'll talk about the importance of friends. But even with that, try not to compare to other women in your same life stage. Y'all, there, no one wins in that game. Because if you think you win, there's pride in that. And then if you feel like you've lost, that's super defeating, discouraging, and not the point. God has us all on different journeys. So, okay, so I just thought real quick, these are totally random. I thought of a few unmet expectations that I had. I mean, I have a lot. So, but one that I thought, when my oldest, I have a girl and then three boys. When she went to kindergarten, I thought, I'd be a great PTA mom. Guys, I was not. I was not, because I had all these other kids at home. And I didn't think about, how do I get up to the school with all these other kids at home? And these other moms with only children, they were awesome. You know, because they anyway. So it was fine I just thought I would be one way. Also, PTA has a lot of rules. I realized I don't like a lot of those rules, so I didn't want to do that. When it came time to running the talent show years later, I was good. I liked that. But I also thought I would take to cooking and preparing dinner for my family. I still don't like it. And my two best friends loved it, and they took to it, and that became a whole thing. So I like going to dinner at their house. But I don't like it. And Mandy, you post some things that are helpful, because I think we're on the same page, right?
Yeah.
And, okay, so little things. I thought my husband would teach my kids how to ride a bike. Like, that's a dad thing. He didn't. I did. And I think my brother helped on one of them. I mean, and I don't even know how that happened, okay? It's not a big deal. I'm just saying. I'm using kind of jokes, except the dinner thing will wear you down. But then I would say I thought we wouldn't have money struggles, even though it's kind of funny that I thought that, because I worked for Young Life and he worked for Watermark when we got married. I don't know why I thought we weren't going to have money struggles. But so that might have been an unrealistic expectation. And along with that, I thought our life would go a certain way. I mean, I think we all have that. We think our life will go a certain way. And if you think, well, I'm hoping for all good things, then that can't be bad. But our life has not gone the way I thought it would be. And it's sometimes been kind of devastating. Our children have taken different paths than we thought, and that has been so hard. So I would just say, what do you do with the disappointment and the anger and the grief? I mean, right now, you know, my husband not teaching them to ride a bike is not that big a deal. But and again, I would just say, hold those expectations loosely. And Jesus as my rock and fortress, those words seem kind of Old Testament-y, and they have meant a ton to me, because I was like, I need a safe, secure, not moving place to anchor my soul, because life hasn't been that way. You're up.
That's good. Okay, this is a big one, and you know, the word help is spelt H-E-L-P, so we couldn't really put the L first. But if we could, this would be a foundational element of both how you commit to patterns and habits and routines in your working parents' life, but also in your marriage, certainly. And so this, John 15:12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And I never assume that people know what we're talking about when we say that, but I believe that deeply. I believe that Jesus, his sacrificial death on the cross, gives us access to our Heavenly Father. And if you're in this room and you don't know that to be true in your own life, I'd love to talk more about it. But I'm going to read a little bit more of my story from our Reengage talk, because I think it relates really closely to what we're talking about. Because as a parent, you're going to have obstacles. As a wife, you're going to have obstacles. And I really have never met anyone who doesn't walk through day-to-day life meeting obstacles. And if they do say they don't have obstacles, I'm going to ask a few more questions. Because I lived my life like that for a long time, where it looked really great from the outside, but inside it was really, really struggling. Many times during my separation from Steve, I cried out to the Lord, not understanding why we were going through so many marriage trials. I often saw the struggles we were walking through as obstacles and never saw them as opportunities to learn more about God's character and his design for marriage. During our separation, I was searching for answers, for tips, tricks, really anyone that could tell me what to do to just get out of pain. I was searching everywhere for answers to my marriage issues and not looking to the Lord where hope is found. God slowly broke through the bitterness in my heart. As Steve began to walk with the Lord authentically, I noticed that he began to treat me differently. He was listening to me and he was fully present. My heart change created a new lens of hope that allowed me to actually see my circumstances differently. Seeing the fight for my marriage as a battle worth fighting truly changed my heart. My lens in the past was clouded with hurt, resentment, and bitterness towards Steve. The more I pursued daily dependence on the Lord, the more I saw God's plan for marriage. And as my marriage became a safe place, I could see other areas of my life where I needed to change. And as you look at your own marriage and your own routine right now, wherever you are in your journey as a mom, I think it's really important to think about whose love are you totally dependent on? Because it could be good things like the love of my husband, the love of my children, but those things can cause your life to feel a little bit like mine did back then, which is like just all over the map. Now, my love for my children and my husband comes out of a deep relationship that I'm establishing daily with the Lord. And I'm a beginner at doing that, y'all. I don't get it right. Most days I fail at it. But as I seek that daily dependence, then what starts to happen is I can celebrate opportunities to love my husband differently. So I'm going to give, Missy gave an example, I'm going to give an example of mine, okay? It happens all the time. We have 5 kids. We have a new routine almost every single day. So a constant obstacle for Steve and I is what is in the car and what is not in the car. What should be in the car that is not in the car, and what should not be in the car that is in the car. Anybody can relate to that? Okay, I am an expert at carrying snacks in my car. If we were to break down on LBJ, you want to be next to my car. You could probably do a buffet out of the car. My husband just, when he cleans a car out, it's like a tornado five. Everything could be in there. Like our birth certificates for our children is in the same bag as the leftover snacks from Costco. And it goes to the shed, which the shed is like, you don't go in there, right?
Yeah.
You don't go in
there.
I'm not going in there. Missy's seen it. So I have to see that as an opportunity to love my husband well. And so that is a daily choice I'm making. I don't know what yours is. But if I see marriage as a gift, and I see that the Lord loves me in spite of my constant battles with my own struggles in my life and sin patterns, then I can love my husband differently. And I can do that in a way that I'm grateful. So Steve is, and I would say this if he was right here with me, Steve is the kind of guy that is super comfortable with one plate spinning. But he married a lady that, man, if I don't have like 7 or 8 plates spinning, I'm a little bit crazy. Like, I'm the person you do not want to go to the movies with because I'm probably working on writing a novel while I'm sick. I can't sit still. I can't do it. So I have to see marriage as a gift, an opportunity to slow down when I'm around my husband. He helps me with that. And I help him kind of move forward. And the last thing is prioritize date nights. This is where I'm going to hand it over to Missy. Y'all, if you need a fun couple, if you're struggling in your marriage, call the Richardsons.
Oh.
We did it all the time. We were in a bad spot for a long time. We were beginners at doing marriage differently. So we literally, on our date nights, when we started that new routine, we had to find a couple that we both enjoyed being around. It was an easy win with these guys. And we would make them come on dates with us. And I say make them on purpose.
Well, they did pay sometimes, so that was easy.
Yeah, because we knew we weren't going to make it through the date night without some accountability. And there are many, many of those where I cried on the way there and I cried on the way home, but we prioritize those date nights and we're getting better at it now.
You'll have about 10 minutes.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Those date nights were super fun, guys. I want to be clear. I mean, it was hard sometimes, but it was fun.
It was fun too.
All right, so the P for help is people. And we did Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. That's probably familiar. In that, again, this one part that I want to focus on is do not lean on your own understanding. That's the part, okay? Because I think a lot of y'all are like super accomplished and capable and have to depend on yourself for a lot, but I'm telling you not to in this. Okay, so in this season with young children, I assume most of you work. We didn't really
okay? I'm going to say most of you are. It is super important to prioritize friendships with other women and friendships with couples. And I told Amy, I feel like I want to be careful. I don't want to add to your to-do list, okay? Because I know that's what you don't have is time. So at the end, we're going to talk about creative ways to do that. But let's talk about why. And I'm not just talking about like going out with the girls. I don't know what a lot of girls go do. but I'm talking about the rich, deep, authentic relationships that are life-giving. And also relationships with other couples that are, like she said, that you both can connect with. You know, at Watermark, we talk about community, but I'm talking community, but more, or it doesn't have to just be community, I guess. A huge benefit to having great friends is that they can help you see your blind spots. We all have them. And that's where that, well, yeah, go ahead. When you lean not on your own understanding, that you need people in your life that can point out some things that are hard, that but you have to be authentic and real to be able to do that. And you, I'm just encouraging you to have to speak those things to your friends and to invite that back into your life. Speak candidly with them, but all in grace and love. Connecting with other moms has been crucial during some difficult times in parenting and tough seasons in marriage for us. Having someone to listen, connect, encourage, and pray for me was so essential for my spiritual and emotional health. I have multiple examples, but during two different seasons with two of my children, one when he was young and one when a different child when he was has been older, they were so hard. And for totally different reasons. And I would say our inner circle of friends were, they love us, they pray for us. They had very little wisdom, experience, but they loved us and prayed for us. So that is valuable, but we had to go seek out some more. And that was hard because that meant you're putting yourself out there to maybe someone you don't know as well. We were lucky we could kind of reach out to some people we knew and just say, kind of help. And when I say help, sometimes it meant actual resources. What do you do in this? It also meant maybe just someone that understood a little bit more. You will have different seasons of life. They're not all going to be hard, but during those hard ones, finding people that can connect, I think, is key and has been. I use the word life-giving because I realized that sometimes I did a lot of things that weren't very life-giving, and I needed to, not that we go around trying to only find life-giving things, but I needed to prioritize some relationships that were really good for me and for Kyle. And I would encourage him, go have breakfast with someone that that you love during a hard season for him. So you have to put yourself out there. That's the hard part. So practical ways to still have friendships during the season, because I know it's hard. We're on a board. Is that what we're called?
Yeah.
With other working moms, and they're all younger, or they all have younger kids. So I said, what do y'all do? Because we're old now, and have a little bit more time. I can leave my kids alone, so that's a big deal. These were some of their suggestions. First one was go to the nest. Good job. You all got it. Or MOPS or some kind of group. They said sometimes groups at work, they're built-in groups for like life stage. And one of them said, well, start your own group at work if there's not one there. And then some apps that help, which we don't, well, Voxer, GroupMe. Amy loves a good GroupMe. And Marco Polo, who uses any of those? Y'all use any of those? Okay. GroupMe.
Boxer.
Did anybody use Marco Polo? Oh, yeah, because cool. That's like you record a video. Mm-hmm. I haven't done it in a long time. Yeah. So they also said a benefit of that is getting used to yourself being on video and not caring about what you look like. like just letting be, you know, that's a different issue, but just helpful. And I'd love to ask if it's okay, like what are some creative ways, or just ways, they don't have to be creative, that you have found to stay connected to other women? You can, you all have any? Or you too?
Play dates.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Bring, whatever you're doing, bring along someone to do what you're doing, you know? I think someone said they record, I'm not sure if this is safe, but record some while they're driving, like a bit, or a voice text, or a Marco Polo while they're driving. But you can't, safety first, so. What else? What do y'all do?
5 minutes.
Okay. Do y'all have any, I mean, that's a great question. Do you have any other questions? We have 5 minutes left, so we wanted to give y'all an opportunity.
Yeah,
to ask anything.
I would love to hear anything.
While y'all are thinking, this is what Woven is. It's a new ministry here at Watermark. It's woven into the other ministries, so it's not standalone events. It's things like this, like breakouts or Square One. There's a talk at Square One for working moms, understanding that, hey, we go through a lot of seasons of life as moms. And so we'd be happy to answer any questions about that. Or?
Question.
Sure.
Yeah. At any point when your kids were younger, like looking back, would you have changed your circumstance of like working versus not working? Because that's a question we always ask ourselves in our house.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I'm at a really hard season with my young adult kids, and so I have to talk to my community group right now about battling shame or comparison. Hey, shoulda, woulda, coulda. I think that is something, you know, shoulda potty trained this way, or shoulda, you know, we could fall in that at any season of life. So I'd say the first place I would go with that would be to the Lord in praying about it. And we didn't have, as a couple, there is a flow chart through Woven where you can talk about should I work or should I not work. Unfortunately or fortunately, I don't know where you would land on that, that was not a part of our story. I had to work. Steve and I have had lots and lots of extenuating circumstances where that was not an option. And so if it is an option to discuss, I think what Missy said about do not isolate is really important. And what I talked about prior to that, before we even started, what's the heart behind your habit? And I would say I felt very called to be, I thought it was an absolute gift to work with all the young women I got to work with, but super hard at the same time. And I think that could vary throughout the day.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what's great is that you're asking the question, because that is what we would say is there's not a right or wrong. I mean, this is a right or left, and having the community, the flow chart that she's talking about is awesome, and it helps really specifically think through what is best for you, your husband, and your children at every season. And I will say things change often. So I would reevaluate, I mean, I don't want to say every month, not like that, but every year for sure, figure out what's best. And also check your motives. Because I would say if you can correct me if I'm wrong, but if you're working for things like so we can have a nicer car, or, I mean, sometimes you just need a car. But you know what I'm saying? If you're working to maintain a lifestyle, I'd just say, even then, I'd say, just check your motives. Just talk to somebody. Have other people able to speak into that. That's all. Again, there's the Bible's not going to tell you what you can't, you should or shouldn't do. That's not what this is about. This is about being honest with your husband and with the people around you and pray.
So when I knew I had a problem was I got asked to speak at a national event, thousands of people there, on a panel on the topic of work-life balance. And guess what day it was on? Easter Sunday in the morning. And I went. That was my wake-up call. That was in, you know, several years ago when I was coaching. But, you know, like Missy said, that's why the local church and having specifically community around you that can see your blind spots and your habits and your patterns. That's why it's really important.
Where is that flowchart?
We can email it. If you send us an email, is that okay? I don't think it's, I should have put it on here, but it's in our square one slides.
Yeah, I don't know how do we get it.
I think if you search on like one of our websites,
yes,
it's like come up that way.
Yeah,
before too.
Yeah,
the flow chart.
Yes.
I do think we'll put notes up from the talk, so maybe
okay.
We can add that in.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll write. I'll make a note about that.
Thank you for reaching out.
Thank you for letting us know.
We're good on time.
Okay.
Yeah.
One more question, or we're good. Wrap it up.
I think it's time.
Okay. Thank you all so much for coming.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm on staff here at Watermark on the external focus team, and if I can ever help you guys with anything, please let me know. I can find Missy.
And I'll invite you over for dinner.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Thank you all for coming.